Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Truth Is Out There, Voice of the People radio show on the Truth Is Out There, Voice of the People media network on Block Talk Radio. You can always check us out on the truthisthetruth.net and enjoy all the past shows, maybe the podcast or the radio show. Again, my name is Joe Golden. I'm the host. Let me introduce you to Scarlett. That's our co-host. And then we got a special show for you. Scarlett, how you doing?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing great. And you know what? I want to tell you, the phone's already lighting up. We got a very, very special guest on. His name is Thomas Banks. He is somebody that's technical. He's high-end. A little modest here, but I started to read his book, and it's a little bit, I think he's the second coming of Tom Clancy. Let me introduce you to Thomas Banks, and he has a book called Indefensible. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm fine, Joe. Nice to meet you. And Scarlett, hello. How are you doing?
We're doing great here, except as we're kind of drying out a little bit. We got a little rain every day. The floors are kind of flooded, but we're used to that in the summertime.
Sure.
Yeah.
So thanks
but,
for having
you
me
know,
on this evening.
I want to get into it a little bit. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about you?
Well, me, my background is all technology. I spent the last 35 years of my life running technology and innovation companies, and ranging from healthcare all the way into mobile gaming was my last venture. And I focus on mostly mission-critical business applications, information processing. My job was as a CEO and founder was to create the mission, and I oversaw the design, development, and ultimately sales and marketing. I My hobby, I'm a pilot. I have over 2,000 hours. I'm a multi-engine instrument-rated pilot, so I love flying. And so you combine my technology background with my flying, and all of a sudden the idea of what a drone, what kind of impact a drone can have on society becomes very clear to you when you're flying around at 5,000 feet and realize you could be taken out by a piece of material weighing 4 or 5 pounds.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, it's scary, but it does happen, and I hear you put it into a book called Indefensible.
Yep.
I started to read it a little bit. That's why I called you Second Coming of Tom Clancy, because of the prologue at the beginning of it. It has that type of scene in there. Or you could go even W.E.B. Griffin is another one that has similar ideas with that type of stuff. You know, and that's the type of books that I actually like. Cause if you talk to Scarlett or anybody that knows me, knows I have a lot of those books. And so you're right in there. And it's important because a lot of this stuff is factual. And things like that can be very factual and very scary. And can you do an overview about the Indefensible and why you did it?
Well, first of all, you're right. It's factual. When people ask me, is it a documentary? Is it real? Is it fiction? It's a geopolitical thriller based on everything that's factual. Everything in between the covers is something that can be done, is being done, and is readily available. So the motivator behind writing the book was I was sitting on the patio of a Panera coffee shop one night with a buddy, smoking cigars, and a drone flew over, and he said, "My goodness, what's that?" "It's a drone." And he thought that was very cool, and all of a sudden it dawned on me how uncool that could be in the wrong hands. Remember the Boston bombers. You remember those guys?
Yes.
You know, they ruined the lives of, right, they ruined the lives of a lot of people by exposing them to some fireworks in pressure cookers. Now, you take that same paradigm and imagine 25 drones flying overhead, each of them carrying, you know, a half a pound of C4 plastic explosive. And C4 is 25,000 times more powerful than a firework. So, and you add some shrapnel to it, some nails and garbage and whatever the terrorist wants to put in it. And that is a life-ending event. And because of the nature of the delivery mechanism, putting it on a drone that's flying overhead at 100 feet, F-14s aren't going to catch up to it. Missiles aren't going to catch it. They're not even going to be noticed because they're just invisible. So in reality, this kind of technology is fundamentally indefensible. And they're also fundamentally autonomous because even in the earlier drones used AI in terms of image recognition. In Indefensible, we talk about how the systems are autonomous from GPS. They're self-mapping. Drones will recognize faces and can go after a specific person if it wants to. So there's no hiding from it. And so now we have an indefensible, asynchronous battlefield that is available to everyone. A drone costs literally nothing. For a couple of $100s, you can have a drone that could be a weapon of mass destruction. And compare that to a $5 million Reaper drone. You know, nobody has those personally, but you can have 500 terrorists in America, each commanding 4 or 5 drones, and now we have literally a weapon of mass destruction that didn't cost more than $10,000.
Sure. You know, I want to tell you, there have been TV shows that have actually did storylines similar to what you just did. NCIS comes to mind. All of the NCIS series came to, they did in Hawaii, NCIS Hawaii, LA, and the regular one. All three of them had a similar story, and also New Orleans until they went off, had the same idea. And it's been going, but the technology is there, and the dangers are there, but we as Americans don't see it that way. And that's a problem.
Well, there's a lot of things we don't see that way, and I guess it's what it's what we're not allowed to see. It's what's not published. It's what's kept from us. Who killed Kennedy? You know, et cetera. We're not trusted as citizens to get to know everything. What I'm finding amazing, and I want to credit our law enforcement for it, is the lack of terrorism around America since 9/11. But then again, I don't know what causes railroad derailments or food factories blowing up and et cetera, et cetera. So I think that there is a paradigm that's shifting, and right now we allow weather balloons flying over our country, but that's just, imagine if that weather balloon flew over and dropped a swarm of 500 drones out of its, you know, body.
Yeah, well, that balloon should never have been even got close to this country. But we have somebody in the White House that paid off, and we know that he's paid off to look the other way, to millions of dollars. And
it's really sad, but you're right. It should never have gotten across the Alaskan, you know, air defense zone.
Yeah, and flew over our military installations.
Yes,
like
what's really
like
funny
Montana.
Is why did, you know, and Canada could have stopped it too, but they didn't.
There's a
laissez-faire attitude that we think is permeating society, but I think you're right. There is an agenda behind this, and we're just not allowed to acknowledge it or know about it. You know, and we'll find out in 100 years, the truth will come out. Just like the Kennedy assassination, the documents are never released. We're not allowed to know who called for the assassination.
Trump was releasing it, and then Biden sealed it again. So,
yeah, well, Trump was going to release it, but Pompeo convinced him not to. And I like Pompeo, but he was the head of the CIA, and the reality is, That confirms to me the CIA had their hands in it, and if the CIA were to be acknowledged as the driver behind this, that would have been a real bad day for the CIA to try to deal with its PR problem.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, the Kennedy, I believe, there's several theories, but the biggest one is that Kennedy wanted to get out of Vietnam, not to really put it into it. The military echelon, the CIA and others have so much stuff in Vietnam, including the drug trade in America, that they wanted to constantly build into it. And so with the help of Johnson and others, they assassinated Kennedy. So Johnson, who's a war hawk, was able to get in,
Right. Tuck
off a tunk, and that's where everything moved on.
Right, because Johnson could never have won election on his own, so they forced him underneath Kennedy, and they just kept Kennedy pumped full of drugs and happy and trying to get through the day and keep him access to women, and the other guys are in the background doing whatever they do. You know, Eisenhower warned us, you know, beware the military-industrial complex, whether it's the pharmaceutical-industrial complex pumping people with COVID vaccines and making tens of billions of dollars, or it's the military-industrial complex just selling more and more bullets. You know, it's all
That's
about
true.
The people in control.
That is true. And we actually have – actually, you know what's – the chat room's lining up, which is good. And we have a caller on the line. I'm going to bring him on, okay? Maybe we'll see what he wants,
sure.
Okay?
As long as he doesn't embarrass me.
No. I think this is Campy. Is that correct, James?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you have a question to Tom?
Well, you know, it's actually, now that you're sitting there, a pleasure to meet you, Tom.
Thank you, James.
Now that you're sitting here. Now that you're sitting here discussing this, it's interesting. My mind just flashed to a story I seen on 2020. It was about 3 years ago, actually 4 years ago, when Trump was first elected. But they had a special on one night, and they had a general on there, and they were talking about drones, of all things. And they talked about this special They talked about this drone that they had, the Pentagon had, that was named after a Greek bird from Greek mythology called the Perdix. And and it was interesting. They said this thing we're utilizing AI, and he was talking about it, how it could do 1,000 calculations per second. But then he asked him a poignant question, you know, for the American people. He asked him, he said, in the event of a wartime scenario, would you allow the drone via you know, AI or whatever to make that decision, or would the military actually make that decision? He looked straight into the camera before the American people. He said, no, we would make that final decision. And so, you know, I was thinking about what you said, you know, everything, the military industrial complex and so forth, and encompassing the entirety of the conversation, and what I know about the CIA now. You know, it's like I just recently, just recently watched a special with William Cooper, and you know, when I look at that, as I see the CIA has been involved in you know, all this drug trafficking that we've had and everything, and I say to myself, and child sex trafficking that I know about now, Jim Caviezel talked about that.
Sure.
And what I wonder is that you say, you know, autonomous is that I think about, you know, you talked about shrapnel and other things that are plausible events. You know, what about like germ warfare or some, you know, all these different things that are plausible or whatever the case may be, you know, or anyway. What do you think the plausibility of another, because I know the criminal cabal is they're because right now the scenario we're in real and all in with this is that where we're at right now is that Trump keeps talking about we're so close to nuclear war, and I can end this in 24 hours. And I believe it's a false flag event to wake up the normies, the people who aren't awake yet. And I think the Q operators, the Delta Force, have already done the major cleanup so far. But in the event, what I see now is the deep state has a couple of scenarios, and they go like this. And they're going to push the nuclear false flag event. They're going to also do a cyber attack to probably shut down our grid when the information starts coming about the military operator, the Delta Force, going in there and doing the cleanup operation when all this comes out. Or like they might use a drone scenario, or you know, CGI or green screen technology using DARPA technology with the NSA, where they're gonna throw up like a false flag, like an alien invasion or something like that. But I think my question is, how plausible do you think that they might utilize drones? Because at this point, their back is against the wall.
Well, the reason drones are so frightening from my point of view is they're readily available. Even if you can't buy a drone, I can send you instructions for building a drone with Legos. Okay, so the technology is off the shelf. The problem is it's the asynchronous nature of this challenge. We think of the sources of threat coming from Russia, North Korea, China, but what if the drug cartels finally say, forget you, United States. We're pulling in more drugs. And by the way, here comes a swarm of 1,000 drones across the border loaded not only with C4, but with rice and poisoning. And we're just going to start killing you people.
Well, so, here's the thing. Hold on one second. I just recently heard of a brigadier general along with another three-star general state. Pardon me. What am I saying? I digress. The three-star general was General Michael Flynn, and he was talking about the scenario that we're in, militarily speaking, is that considering, you know, the $85 billion that debacle with Afghanistan and everything else that's gone on, vaccinating our soldiers and all this stuff that's gone on right now, from a military vantage point, wartime scenario, we can't handle a war on two fronts. That's where we're at right now.
Right. But I think
I'm saying to myself, so that's kind of a scary, plausible scenario what you're conveying. And what I also believe I believe that the Q team, the Delta Force, the operators operating, I believe Trump's operating with 209 generals, my latest intel has been for some time. And that the number one defense contractor is Elon Musk. I believe he has superior AI, which has breached the Pentagon firewall, he's able to disseminate information. Now, that even that being said, it's still a very scary scenario.
Very true. And the reality is, as I see it, this is just my point of view, people or groups like China and Russia, they don't really want to decimate America because we happen to be, as bad as the economy is, we happen to be the guys that buy everything. We're the economic engine for China. There's no upside for them to destroy it. They want to maintain it. The reality, as I see it, are the rogue groups, the Mideast terrorists, the drug cartels, organizations that want to throw up false flags, if you will, that are internal in America, that can lay the blame on terrorism, et cetera. One of the most interesting things that I noticed when I released my book is I see where it's sold. I can see where every copy is sold. Within the first day of the release, the first copy that was sold was into Washington, D.C. Now, what are the odds of that? The first copy sold was Washington, D.C.
Right in the U.S. corporation. Right in the U.S. corporation.
Absolutely. Into the CIA, into the Pentagon. Somebody bought it. Now, they might buy every book that comes out and the NSA goes through and digitizes it and scrubs it and tries to figure out who bad people are. But I'm just saying, this is not a – we go to – sporting events or big ceremonial events, and you see drones flying in the sky, creating beautiful fireworks displays and drawing pictures of dragons, etc. That's just a way of telling us you have no control because this stuff is really powerful. And then when you overlay AI onto it, and as a technologist, I'm telling you, whatever we see today is technology from 20 years ago. We all know that. You know, the stealth fighter and the stealth bomber was being developed back in the 80s and the 70s. And you can imagine that the computer technology that we're allowed to appreciate has been around a long time. And
let me ask you a quick question. How plausible is that scenario that you just conveyed?
Using drones?
Right.
I think it's very plausible. I'm amazed it hasn't happened. If you read Indefensible, you can envision terrorists, and they're working in harmony with a Mideast leader, and they're working in conjunction with North Korea. That's how complicated Indefensible is. But it's the point being is.
I urge everyone to go get Indefensible. And it's very important. In the prologue, it tells you about a plane, a jetliner, and how it crashed.
In Cuba is there now? China is there?
Right.
China.
So they're only 90 miles from us.
That's right. And a drone can fly that. It's just a matter of how much battery you put on it, you know.
That would be correct. So I'm just saying. Yeah.
Who would they hit down here? They'll hit the homestead. That's the only military base down where we are.
Well, you know, it doesn't have to be military bases. The World Trade Center wasn't a military base, was it?
Not a military base, but it's a financial base.
Oh no, you're right. But it was civilian, and so if you want to wreak havoc, that's how you do that. I've always wondered. You know, with all the ricin coming in and the child trafficking, all of that is bad. That's really bad stuff. Mm. But that's the supply side. But my question is, who the heck in America is the user? Who domestically is buying these people? I used to be a reserve sheriff in Orange County, California. I knew the sheriff really well. And he and I were at dinner one night, and he said, if you go to a strip club, he said, and there's little Becky doing stripping, putting herself through college. She may be doing that, but outside is a guy named the Hook that is controlling her, that mm-hmm. basically has her enslaved. So you go to a men's club and watch some lady dance around naked. That's really just the acceptable side of sex trafficking.
Human trafficking is going on. It's huge down here.
It's horrible. It's the kind of thing that we could stop if we held the perpetrators accountable, but we don't, because we let Epstein die in prison by accident by killing himself with no cameras, and
he didn't kill himself.
Himself. I believe he was murdered.
I was tongue in cheek when I said that. But the fact is, where's the list of all of his clients? You know, the only one we know is Prince Andrew.
With Giselle, Giselle Maxwell. You know,
Real quickly, there is another plausible scenario. It is very possible that it was a white hat psyop, that one of Trump's Q team or the Delta Force went in there and they took him away to a CIA black site, and they gave him and they cut a deal. They said, you start giving up names on that black book of Epstein Island, and you know, we'll kind of like diplomatic immunity, we'll spare your life, but you know, in the meantime, you're going to give up names. And the story they put out there that they
everybody knows who killed Epstein was Hillary Clinton. Come on.
Well, there's always the possibility, folks, and that this really grows into
the grass somewhere else.
I mean,
you know,
he might not even be dead.
You got to wonder why that chef, the chef with Barack Obama, you got to wonder why
Obama's chef. Right. This is exactly.
That's a little weird.
No, it's all
weird.
You also got to take
into consideration the time frame. You know, you think about it. You got the election coming up and everything, and they're looking to possibly 25th Amendment Biden. Then, of course, there's Kamala Harris. And then next thing, what do? They're going to bring the next person who they really want in, Michelle or Michael Obama. And so what do? Is because the chef knows all of Obama's secrets, so they had to get rid of him.
Well,
they'll never get it. Okay,
but
the Congress.
It would not surprise me that somehow Biden has to leave office, and before they get to appoint a new vice president, because it would have to be Kamala that would move up. That something's going to happen to her before there's a new vice president in place, and then guess who gets to be president if Kamala is gone and Joe is gone?
Yeah, McCarthy. Michelle, I think.
McCarthy?
No, Kevin McCarthy. They'd have to follow the succession.
And he's going to pass it along to Trump.
But he could do that. But they could then make him Speaker of the House, and then he gets to be president.
Yeah.
So I'm long since not surprised by anything. People talk about Michelle Obama, and we're getting off on a different topic. And I was telling my wife this afternoon.
I want Tom to promote his book, because that's the main thing.
as do I. The screenplay is finished. It's in Hollywood and it's being negotiated right now. But thanks to the writer's strike, everything is held up. But the sequel, I'm working on the sequel now, and hopefully we'll have that done out before the end of the year. And the important thing about Indefensible is we need to be aware of what the threats are. And the threats are any technology that runs amok. One person asked me about how likely is Indefensible, and I said, Indefensible, I said, think about the movie Terminator, but you don't have to have time travel to make it bad. You know, you could go into your local Costco or wherever and buy all the drones you want, and within a day, you could fabricate some ricin out of the castor plants in your backyard with a little bit of chemistry, and you are lethal. And now we're not even talking about state-sponsored technology like sarin gas and anthrax, and other biological threats that become indefensible. So it's imagine 10 terrorists, if you will, in their little soccer mom minivans, 20 or 30 miles away from Bush Stadium or pick a stadium, and they each release 10 drones out of the roof of their car, and they track toward the stadium, and now you have 100 drones, and with 1 pound of ricin, 250,000 people. That's how power – a grain of rice and the size of a grain of rice will kill you. And so
Tom, this is frightening. Yeah, I know. And, Tom, we got another call. I said the lines are lighting up. We have another call.
Wow.
Let's see what kind of question you got. Hold on. Hello, 234. You have a question for Tom, our guest?
Yeah. You guys are discussing I caught some of it. I'm curious to know – I brought up with some other shows with some of the Republicans and whatnot. With Donald Trump in 2017 accepting Judaism secretly in the White House, he sits in place now where he accepts the crown of Torah, and to bring down this cabal and lock up all these people that we know are running this absolute complete disaster of everything, we know good, you can't be part of it. Now, if he's studying Judaism or is he practicing and actually accepts that as his religion now, we know Kushner, his daughter, his grandkids all do.
Okay.
The Talmud is the most evil thing with this cabal, and it's directly involved with it. How do we know now that Trump and everything, he's done a lot of good things, don't get me wrong, but is it not smoke and mirrors just as prolonged until they can completely overrun and take over everything completely? Judicially and politically, not you.
Well,
okay,
as Adam said, as Franklin said, it's a republic if you can keep it. You know, the keeping it is the hard part, and that's our job. You know, the some people are made, I think, are made to be boogeymen, and I don't think Joe Biden has a clue what he's doing. He's just a puppet to the other to other power brokers. I think Trump is a relatively – he's just a phenomenon that occurred because of the populist movement. It could have been anybody else, and I don't think he really has an agenda other than his pride drives him to want to be a good businessman. And so is there a globalist threat that's more central to this? I don't think that is the case with some of our political leaders. Will our organizations, will our agencies be infiltrated? They already are.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
we need someone to go in there
and clean them out.
Let's look at this for a minute. First of all, President Trump was a very successful real estate businessman. He took $1 million from his dad, became a billionaire to the tune of about $4 to $5 billion. The fact of the matter is that truthfully, here he doesn't take one penny, becomes the president. In the meantime, he's a true outsider. Every other president
right.
we've had has been picked by the Council on Foreign Relations. Didn't matter whether it was right wing or left wing, they were all part of the same bird, the New World Order system. Okay.
Right.
Every one of them are criminals of the worst kind. The fact of the matter is that the reason why he did it, even if you go back to interviews 20 and 30 years ago, it was to save our country. What did he had a wonderful life. You know, the fact that his family, they can't walk anywhere without the Secret Service or a team with them. Can't even go anywhere, walk down the sidewalk like me and you. So why
right.
did he do this? The main thing was to save our country. The fact of the matter was, a lot of people understand real quickly, is that this is a ingenious plan. Is the truth of the matter was that Trump knew as a couple of years ago that Biden was going to steal the election. The reason why he didn't go in there with the military when he won by 81 million votes more than any other president in the history of our country was that
right.
there would have been, most people wouldn't have understood, and there would have been a civil war. And that's
right.
exactly what the deep state wanted. So he didn't do that because when he armed the sixth arm of the military, which is the Space Force, he keeps saying we caught them all. They did. They caught every single one of them that were involved, high treason, all the CIA Mockingbird media, everybody, all the international bankers, everybody that was involved in this, and it became high treason against our country. Okay.
Right.
And so the reason why this has been allowed to go on so long is because what it really is kabuki theater, is to wake the American people up as a whole as to how corrupt all the three-letter agencies are. That's what this is
right.
about.
And we saw that.
And as far, and that's the truth. And the Q team is a real, it's not some conspiracy theory. It's called Q-level security clearance at the highest
right.
okay. level, the Delta Force.
Okay, I like and, okay, with that said, I'd like to get back to indefensible.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. I just wanted to clarify.
I'm going to ask another question. One thing. If that's the case, then why, since President Carter, has every one of our presidents signed in the Noah Hyde laws into effect? If people understand what that is, when that is to be held over the land, our presidents have all signed that. And what that entitled, you know, what they believe in is their religion. The things that you were basically pagans to them, believing in Christ, because they don't believe in Christ. And the number one thing in the Noahide laws is, if you are a pagan, you are to be beheaded. That's in their book. That's everything documented. So, I mean, I'm beside myself.
The problem I have with that about him being into Judaism, because he clearly held the Bible up before the entire American people, and he's
right.
even stated, quote, he's even stated, quote, that he's a Christian, that he's a believer in Jesus several times.
Right.
I've seen it on right. several social media platforms, so I have right. a hard time believing that he's a Zionist or he's in the Kabbalah.
Trump's not. He held, don't forget, he held the Bible in front of that church, which he got lambasted by the Kabbalah.
Right.
He did.
For doing that. But let's get back into defensible.
Go ahead, Joe.
Let's get back into your book because you're running out of time.
Okay. It's your show, my friend.
Okay. We've got a little while to go, but we want to make sure that you're able to get your website in, you get a way to get the book, and a little bit more about the book, because the book is reality, and we need to get that out there. And like you said,
it is.
The first book was sold. When your book was sold, the first one was sold, it was in the middle of the complex in Washington, D.C. They know that it's real.
Right. They know it's real, and we all know it is likely. Terrorists have shown that they don't do things small. Can we agree with that? They don't. It would be easy to walk around with a gun and just shoot somebody randomly and walk away, but that doesn't kill enough people. So it's bombs, it's poisons, it's airplanes into buildings, it's things like that that are our threat. And in Indefensible, you'll see storylines where, you know, how Australia is affected and Canada, and how electric grids are taken out. One of my favorite scenes in the book is that the Indefensible scenario is taken out against Google and takes out the Google data centers, and while it's doing it, it's broadcasting on social media what it's doing. So there's some irony there. And the reality is that this technology is so available. It is so prolific. And we're all laughing and happy about flying cars and VTOL aircraft and where drones are going. But no one's looking at the micro side, the little quadcopters that cost $300 that will fly for thousands of feet and for miles and miles, and they can do it autonomously. These things are already here, and I fear that we're going to see the first round of these kinds of attacks will be the way the drug cartels act against us. Remember, with the people that are coming across our border, there are some really wonderful people that just want to come to America. I get that. But if out of the millions of people that have come to America, if only 10,000 of them have a bad agenda, and they are there to act on that agenda, like the deployment of these drones, this is a very big threat that is impossible to track, deal with, identify, and defend against. Hence the name of the book, Indefensible.
Well, real quickly, what's disconcerting is Juan O'Savin has talked about it quite a bit. I believe he's a military operator. In fact, I know he is. He's ex-CIA. Mm-hmm. But anyway, real quickly, as he talks about, you know, we got, on top of everything else at the border, we've got hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands at this point, of CCP Chinese regulars, military-age men, showing up at the border with wads of cash. If they get
right.
a hold of that drone technology...
Well, you know, indefensible. Someone had said to me, how are you going to get all these drones into the areas? And these drones in indefensible are being manufactured in North Korea. They come across from North Korea on shipping containers, and the shipping containers are delivered to Walmarts throughout Mexico border, for example. And late at night, the drones wake up, the roof of the cargo container opens up, and 500 drones ascend and fly across the border to the receiving arms of the human terrorist.
Let me ask you one quick question. I haven't said it because I didn't want to, but I'm going to ask it. What is the probability that somebody, considering the sophistication that you know that your area of expertise drones have, what is the probability that somebody could utilize a drone, like you're saying, to take out our grid?
I think it is absolutely probable. It's a logical assault. In Indefensible, in one of my scenes, I took out a dam, and it shut the power off for tens of thousands of homes throughout California. And so it is absolutely possible. And the reality is that we are going to have to just wait for it to happen, because apparently – no one's willing to do anything about it.
I'm hoping that today's show will help spread the word so we can start doing it. End of your book.
Yeah, I'd be honored.
It's called Indefensible, right? Correct?
Correct. It's available on Amazon and Kindle and paperback. You can get it at my website at indefensible.org. Any way you want to get it works for me. I don't care. You know, come to Twitter. I'm DroneOn1 at Twitter. That's DroneOn and the number one at Twitter. I have 55,000 mm-hmm. active followers, and I'm humbled. I hear from people all over the world every day. People from India, people from Europe. I hear from Brits all the time, because everybody realizes
question.
That. Sure.
If they take out the grid, right? Do generators still work?
Your home generator? Is that what you're asking? Yes, yes. If you had a home generator and the power gets chopped off, your home generator should kick in and will provide your home electricity for as long as you have fuel for it.
Okay. And what happens if it's hooked up, say, in your garage and you have solar panel hooked to it? Does it run?
What happens is the solar panels charge the batteries, and the generator fills the batteries, and then the battery power is converted to AC, which then provides you electricity to run your air conditioner and your washing machines and refrigerators and your lights. The solar panel is just an alternative fuel source if you can't get diesel fuel or propane or natural gas, whatever it is you're using to generate. To run the generator.
Do you recommend that to be put into to a home?
I think every resident should have a backup generator, and it doesn't have to be about terrorism. If you live in an area that has hurricane threats, then it's worth having a home generator.
Yeah, like we do. Okay. Like you do now in South Carolina.
Absolutely. The solar panels are very appealing because you think they're green, et cetera. The problem is you have to have a lot of them. It's not like, you know, 4 or 5 square feet of solar panels. You need hundreds of square feet. Your entire roof needs to be covered in it. You'd have to have a lawn covered in solar panels. So that's the problem with solar, is it's not a very efficient form of generator conversion.
You ever hear the company Germanac?
Oh yeah,
they make generators.
Yep, Generac. They're one of the big providers.
If you have an external generator of theirs, Those generators run off fuel.
They you can get them where they run off of propane. They can run off of natural gas, and they can run off of gasoline or diesel or all combinations thereof. There's just an engine in there that gets turned on when the power fails, and it turns its own generator, which then starts supplying your electricity. And these aren't very expensive. You can buy a Generac generator at Home Depot for, you know, a couple thousand dollars. Then you have an electrician wired in, and you're up and running.
I hate to ask it, but I'm going to ask one more question since we're on the topic of drones, Tom.
Sure. But, yeah, I like drone topic.
Well, absolutely. Well, you're the expert, so I mean, there was a wonderful pastor back in 2006 wrote a book called The Final Countdown, Countdown to Armageddon. The question that I have is what is the plausibility that these drones could shoot an EMP up into the air, blanket the atmosphere, and shut everything down for the next 2 to 3 months?
Well, I'll give you a good answer to that. EMP is a very serious threat, don't get me wrong. But EMP requires a lot of energy. It needs to be sky-bursted with a nuclear weapon that emits a bunch of EMP, and a drone, albeit threatening, can't carry enough energy to generate an EMP that matters, okay?
That's what I thought.
So,
thank you.
And that's why. Now, people will say, well, I'll just shoot the drone down with my shotgun. And I say, go ahead. Because the drone is loaded with C4 and ricin, it may not get to its target, but wherever it crashes, it explodes, and it kills the people there. So there isn't a good answer.
You may be committing suicide.
But
you're also saving other people's lives, so I don't know which way you want to fly with that.
It's a noble ending. I get that. The greatest joy is to lay one's life down for another. I get that philosophy. But the point being is that EMP is not the threat from drones. EMP is a threat from air-based, weapon systems like missiles with a nuclear weapon that's going to put out a bunch of EMP. That is all bad. That is really bad as a scenario. But when it comes to drones.
We don't have to worry about that scenario then.
No, because a drone can only carry so much weight, and batteries are heavy, and you couldn't carry enough batteries to generate an EMP that would make a difference out of a single drone. So if somebody really wants to wreak havoc with EMP, they're just going to disperse a large explosive device that's going to disseminate EMP wherever they want it. And that's a different issue.
Right now we have threats like the cartels and all that stuff running at the southern border, and they're like militarized, and they are using drones to go back and forth.
Of course they are.
And that's a dangerous scenario. And we don't have the mindset to take down the drones or to go in and do anything about the cartel because Biden basically is in the pocket. I know Kamala Harris is in the pocket of the cartel. And a lot of other people are, And in fact, the prosecuting attorney in Atlanta that's trying to get Trump, her boyfriend is MS-13, and she's targeted to that.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. In fact, and Chukin, who's the judge in D.C., worked for Hunter Biden and Burisma. And she's going to be indicted any day now for that.
The good news is, as I see it, Trump could win election from a jail cell, okay? But the reality is, as I see it, this won't go to trial till long after the election. The other good thing is the January 6th, indictment is one that is so fundamentally tied to the First Amendment and politicians' right to lie under the First Amendment. Even if he gets convicted, the Supreme Court will overturn it quickly. But before that happens, Trump will be in office and he'll pardon himself. The big threat here that caused all this was that one phone call that he made to Ukraine, that he wanted him to look into Biden,
and he was
that's
right
what
on that.
Started it. Oh, he was
yeah,
absolutely
and he's right on.
So I
think, and they just found, you know.
Go ahead.
But anyway, we're running down to the last few minutes. Actually, we got
no
you. I'm very happy we got you to the whole hour, pretty much.
Well, I'm honored.
Tom, I would like you to give out the website and where to get the book again, and we're going to have to get you back on again in a few weeks, so, and maybe do a bigger show, because you lit up the board all the way across.
Well, Joe, I love talking in general, but I love talking about this. And again, indefensible.org is the website, and you can go to Amazon and pick the book up there, Indefensible by Thomas Banks, and get your copy, get your friends a copy. This isn't about making money. Nobody makes money on books, believe me. That's not what it's about. This is about getting this information out there and getting people to have some dialogue. You know, call your congressman and say, have you considered this threat? I know it's just another thing that they have to think about, but it is a real thing. It's technology run amok, and we're all fearing what AI is going to do to us, but this is here and now. Bad people can do this tomorrow if they wanted to. They don't have to wait for AI to mature where they've got robots walking the streets. This is right now. We have airborne robots.
Well, one more quick question. Is it plausible that maybe Elon Musk has his own version of like autonomous drones, with AI that could actually acting as white hats, if you will, that would shoot down these drones or take out these drones or have the
He could. I explore that in depth and indefensible, where the United States deploys defensive drones just for that purpose. And you end up finding out that the nature of the magnitude of this is so great, there's nothing you can do to stop it. That's
can
the
I
scary
ask you a
part.
Question? Is there
sure.
a way to develop a way so that you could jam the signal?
Well, that's as a matter of fact, I discussed that in Indefensible. You can jam a signal. Let's say the drone is relying on GPS to navigate. Okay?
Right.
It's using, just like your car. As a pilot, I'll fly in areas where the GPS is gone because the area is a bad area, just like when you lose your radio signal in your car. Mm-hmm. What keeps me flying is I'm at the helm of the craft and I'm flying it. The same is true with the drone. If the GPS is shut down, which we do in Indefensible, Russia and America shut down GPS to try to combat this, and the unintended consequences are economic because all of a sudden everything that relies on GPS, from navigation to the opening and closing of bus doors, ends and stops, and the stock market will crash, et cetera. So the drones themselves in Indefensible, if you terminate their communication with the navigation signals, they're designed to go autonomous, and they now just follow map of the Earth.
Isn't there a way that that DARPA has? Well, I know that the military industrial complex is using DARPA, but the White House have their version as well. Isn't there a way to hack into that technology in real time?
Well, you could. As a matter of fact, in Indefensible. I'm going to give you I don't want to blow the story.
Yeah,
in Indefensible, but in Indefensible, we do hack into it in a very interesting way with kids. So there, you got to read the book to know how that works.
Oh, great. I'm going to definitely read the book. Indefensible.org, correct, Tom?
Correct. And Indefensible at Amazon. And Thomas Banks is the author of that Indefensible. I'd be honored for you to read it, and I look forward to meeting up one day over a cup of coffee, and I'd be happy to sign it for you. And I look forward to having conversations further. I think
we're running out of time.
You that are making a difference. It's
and
the
people
alternative
like you
media
that
are making
the story
would you come back to our show in the future?
anytime you want me back, I'm available. But it's you people, the alternative media, that is going to make the difference.
Okay.
You, the Dan Bonginos, the Tucker Carlsons, you name it. It's
yeah.
you guys, whether you have an audience of 3,000 or Tucker's got an audience of 75,000, you people are the answer to everything.
I'll tell you,
you're
laid up to board.
Wake the people on it.
Well, I'm so happy when podcasters and such call me and radios call me, I will talk day in and day out because I want to support your mission. Your mission is the way
Thomas,
we win this.
Thomas,
yes, sir.
I am so. It's a pleasure and an honor to meet you, sir. This is awesome.
Same here, Joe. Thank you so much. I'd make sure I get a link to the audio and I'll send it out to my thousands and thousands of followers and get them to listen to the show.
You'll have it tomorrow. Okay, we'll send it tomorrow via the email that we gave you. Okay,
to our website. Look, God bless you, Joe Scarlett. God bless you. I'm a Christian. I believe in our Lord and Savior, and I believe in one thing that gives me peace every day that I wake up and put my feet on the floor. I believe in God's perfect plan. There's a plan. And there's a reason, and I have confidence in his plan.
Amen.
I want to thank everybody for
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. You guys have a great evening, and God bless everyone.
How about
you
now?
Too.
Bye-bye. We're about to end the show. We got like 3 minutes left. Jack Campy, thank you for calling in. Scarlett, thank you. Tom, you were great. We'll get you on. I'll send you the link. Well, I also like to thank the people in the chat room, Duck and Ed Starboy and a bunch of others that came in and out. I want to thank you all, and we'll see you on Sunday at 7 p.m.
Saying everybody have a great week, and God bless America. Bye.
And we'll see you
Bye,
on
guys.
Sunday.
Thank you
we'll
so much.
Bye-bye now. We'll see you all on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And we'll have another great show. And have a great evening.
I'll see you next week then.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American. There ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least today, 'cause there ain't no doubt.